Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker for our second show of the day. Rare that we are in this position, Neil, but we did have some technical difficulties. We've had them all week, actually, but we're back, and hopefully our switchboard is going to be working a little better. And I think, Neil, that a portion of our show was not audible on our last broadcast, so we're going to be revisiting the topic that we discussed on the last show a couple hours ago, which is the death of Robin Williams. First, I want to let everyone know how to reach us here on the show, 914-338-0164. Of course, we'll be conducting listener readings today, as well as discussing whatever's on your mind or on ours. Well, I guess not whatever's on my mind, because maybe that's not safe for broadcast. No comment.
That's another show, huh?
I guess that's another show. So, of course, everyone can reach us by following us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can always email me if you have questions that are unrelated to a personal topic. I'll try to address them on the air. You can also follow us on Twitter or join us on Facebook. There are two accounts. But anyway, Neil, here we are, and we are, again, repeating our discussion, though. We got some practice, at least, right?
You know, I can't even remember what I said in the other show.
Well, that's good. I mean, then it'll be fresh. But we were discussing Robin Williams' death, of course, came as a total shock to us. We were together when we heard the news on the television set and both looked at each other wondering if we had heard the same thing. I mean, I was very surprised that he had died. 63 is relatively young. So at the time that we heard the news, we were not sure what the cause of death was. Of course, it was later revealed that he committed suicide. So it's sparked a great deal of debate between friends and family and online as well. And there have been several articles that I have come across written about Robin Williams' death not being a choice because he was killed by depression, that suicide isn't selfish, so on and so forth. But there's a different type of analysis that we can give to suicide when we're talking in a spiritual realm. And I'm going to let you take over for a moment. I'll weigh in a little bit more as the show progresses. But
where
do you take it from here?
I think on the previous show I was explaining that I'm not a stranger to issues of suicide. In my own family, my uncle and my grandfather committed suicide. So that is something I was exposed to, as well as in my lifetime, in so far that I worked in a psych hospital, I was constantly bombarded by people who were contemplating suicide ideation, and all matters of thoughts revolving around suicide. In my profession as a psychic, I've encountered numerous sessions with people who are contemplating suicide. So I've got that over 40 years of life. And since I was a child, of course, the spirits that have crossed over that have committed suicide have contacted me and spoken to me and talked to me about their state of existence and what consequences were brought upon them after having committed suicide, as well as going to sites where suicides were committed in seeing souls locked in time and space in a certain area, souls locked in time and space in a certain astral realm, and the state that they put themselves when they commit suicide. So it's in my life. It's in my blood.
Right.
That
you've
I've
dealt with many people, family-wise, in your profession. So
it's kind of strange because on one level, it's therapy and being there and being compassionate and understanding all of those conditions. However, on a spiritual end of things, I have to equate the issues of suicide with the lack of spirit. Basically, when people commit suicide, they are at their wits' end. They're at the end of life. They find there's no hope, no faith. Some of them do believe there's a hereafter, but they don't really live. They're so involved in the earth and what's going on in the earth that they have very little faith in terms of the energy that they should be expressing on the planet. And so when you commit suicide, you're actually killing yourself, which is really kind of showing that why do people kill themselves? Their love life, they have no life, they have no career, they have no hope, they have no bearing on what's making them feel fulfilled. And I think that if one does not have any nourishment in the spiritual realm, to where you have energy in that tank that you can rely on to get you through life when things are going down, then really what you're doing is you're cutting off your cord and you're really saying, I'm entering the next realm, wherever that may be, with an attitude that I've cut myself off from life, deliberately. Even though there may be pain, the pain of depression or drugs or alcohol, whatever that may be, there's still the idea that you're cutting yourself off from life. And that means that your spiritual reserves are dry. There's nothing there. As opposed to those people who find great adversity in life, they have nothing to really show for their lives. They go through great turmoil and challenges, and at the same time, they still appreciate life enough to where they won't commit suicide, and their spirits overwhelm their odds, and they either strive and create a new energy, or they do the best coping skills they can, because what we're here is to value life, not to end it, but to value it up to the point that hopefully naturally we just end our lives, not by accident, or more or less deliberate act upon oneself.
Right. Well, what I've noticed in reading some of the responses to articles that I've read or people's Facebook posts. I have access to a friend's Facebook. I myself don't have a Facebook account except for ours, but this is a separate area of my life here. And, you know, a lot of people, I think when an opinion's expressed about suicide being selfish or a bad decision, a lot of people come in with the response that if you haven't walked in the shoes of someone who experiences suicide ideation, then you don't have any right to comment. But, you know, it's not necessarily true that someone that might have a view that suicide isn't the best choice to make, or that it in fact is a choice, which I'll get to an article that I read in a minute, that you don't necessarily, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you haven't had experience with it. In fact, if you've had experience with depression, you can see what a foolish decision it is to end your life as a result of that depression. I mean, I certainly have compassion for those that have depression. I've been around many depressed people in my environment, all types of depression. And, you know, we've all gone through our own struggles where we've had darkness in our lives. But anyway, there was an article that I read that said that Robin Williams didn't in fact kill himself, depression killed him, which is you know, the disease of depression is not a terminal illness like cancer. I mean, you do die by your own hand when you commit suicide, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Actually, that's true. I mean, you know, reifying in terms of trying to say that depression killed someone is almost personifying the energy. You're not depression isn't what kills us. What kills us is making a choice. We still have that deliberate state where we make a choice. And Robin Williams was still making choices in life.
Yeah.
What got him depressed was the level of his career. Maybe there were some personal demons in there. Maybe, you know, his upbringing, I heard he was bullied in life and he had a distant father and whatnot. But, you know, not everyone who is bullied in life and has a distant father is going to commit suicide. And that's not really the way that we cope with energy. And I've heard people say, well, it's his choice. That's his choice. Of course it's his choice.
Well, some people say it's his choice. Some people say he didn't have a choice because he was so depressed and he wasn't thinking logically or cognizantly, which, you know, I have to differ with that opinion because had he killed his wife, in a court of law, depression would not have held up as a defense.
No.
You know, as far as insanity, that
type
of thing.
You know, it's illegal. You can't. You know, you cannot.
I always laugh.
Huh?
I'm laughing when you say it's illegal. We do see our caller from 661. Okay. I'm just acknowledging them. Go ahead and yell.
What I mean to say is, but the laws of the land, this is not something that's condoned. And when people say that, well, he had a choice to make and he made a rational choice, I like to use the analogy where we had a child that said, I'm an old soul and I have to go into my room and kill myself right now because I really don't want to be on this planet anymore. I don't think there's a parent alive that would say, oh, good choice. That's right. Go ahead and do it.
Because you're responding to a comment made. Again, we're talking about my friend's post on her Facebook page, and some response is someone responded saying that people are leaving the planet in high numbers at the time, and perhaps he perceived that his journey on the planet was over, and that's why he ended his life. Kind of implying that it was a spiritual decision that caused him to exit the planet so he could move into a higher realm. My argument is that, you know, if you're committing murder, whether it's the killing of another or the killing of yourself, that's not going to graduate you to a higher plane, in my opinion, based on what I know now.
From what my contact with souls that have crossed over that commit suicide, I have yet to see one glorified in the moment, unless there's some actual sense that the self-sacrifice was based on extenuating circumstances that involved a higher purpose. But yes, you have that right to kill yourself, but then what you're going to be left with, from what I've seen and experienced, is extreme amounts of karma in regard to that. So it doesn't, you don't stop the energy there, because what you've done is you cut yourself off from the elements of spirit, which is about transcending in terms of the thought process, the idea that we just don't live on the planet for the sake of the planet, that we're just not here because we have to be successful, we have to have that energy, we have to have that job, that career, that reward, that relationship,
right.
And if we don't, I'm going to kill myself.
The planet is a test of our spirit to see if we can maintain a spiritual attitude while being beset by challenges of an earthly level.
Yeah.
It's not...
You know, tragically, we can embrace the experience. We can embrace the experience, but on another level, my applause goes to those people who fight adversity, rise themselves above the challenge, and really define for us as human beings what the nature of the human spirit is, which is transcending anything that we would otherwise say, my God, how did you do that? I could have never done that given the conditions that were available.
And I agree. And I think that the frustrating part is what a waste of a life with him, because, I mean, he was a great talent. I'm not exactly a fan of his style of comedy necessarily. I find him funny, but I do see that he's greatly talented, or he was greatly talented. And anyway, we just lost our call. I don't know if people are being dropped still as a result of...
What was happening on the other show. Did they say they fixed it?
No, it's not been fixed. So 661, if you're still there, if you're still listening, please give us a call back. We'll try to get you on. We were about to pick you up.
Maybe in the waiting room out there in space.
It is so weird. Well, they said that they're having a problem with the server. So some of the callers are getting dropped. As you know, we had problems being heard on our last broadcast, as well as bringing callers on. I would try to bring callers on. They were dropped, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, because of that, we've allowed another hour for it to be on the radio, and if anyone wants to call and be given a rating, you're welcome to take advantage of that, as well as engage in any discussion about
we had a caller that was, you know, presenting an interesting point, because we got into the killing of the teenager in Missouri by a police officer, and you were saying, Neil, on that show, we have our 661
right
back.
Right,
we're going to get him back right now. Good morning, 661. Or good afternoon. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes. Can you hear me good?
Yes.
Can you hear me good?
Sorry. I think you've been I don't know. Are you calling from Skype or?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the 661 number could be anybody. Okay, what's your name?
Okay. My name is Jacques.
Jacques?
Yes.
Okay, and Jacques, where are you calling from? What's your birth date?
Oh, I see. So is this about a psychic reading then?
Yeah, you can get a reading, but we get your birth dates because we work with the energy of numbers. Neil.
But you can offer any comments you want to make.
Yeah,
too,
this is an open forum, so it dropped him.
Okay, well, we'll
Jacques,
be...
if you're still listening, try and call us back, because this is terrible. Anyway, as I was saying, Neil, back to the subject of the Missouri killing.
Mm-hmm.
On the previous show,
they're having some problems.
We're not on the air.
We're not?
Okay, Neil, we are back on the air. We are having a very odd day. But, Neil, go ahead and talk a little bit about what you were saying about the Missouri killing and the lack of choice this young man had because he was murdered, and how it differs from suicide.
Well, I mean, we were just the Missouri killing of an individual named Brown involved a something that was much different than the topic at hand. What that involved was apparently a police killing. Where there was an altercation, seemingly an altercation on the road, and two black gentlemen were confronted by a police officer, and there might have been a confrontation, it may not have been, but the way the story was that this individual was shot by a policeman while his hands were raised in the air, and now this has caused mass riots and things like that. I don't really know where that how that relates to the suicide, and we get to the idea of killing, and of course, when we're trying to tie the two together, Robin Williams' death by apparent suicide is kind of dwarfing the other aspects we have that are going on in this nation about the value of life, the value of human life.
Jacques is back,
and how that connects to the process of what is a murder? How does that connect to the energy of life, and to what degree is one held responsible for committing a murder, whether it's upon oneself or upon another individual? But we'll get to that in a minute.
We'll get to that in a minute. This is such an odd day, Neil. But we've got a couple of people here in the queue. Again, if you get disconnected, everybody, give us a call back, and we'll get you on. We've got Jacques back, and then a caller from 936. Good morning again, or good afternoon, Jacques.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes.
So, give.
Can you hear me good?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me good?
It's not the greatest connection.
No, the reception's really
We've
poor.
We've got to get a better connection.
Just saying if you can hear me good.
It's pretty tough. What's your birthday, Jacques?
Yeah, is that right? I
can't.
Okay, my birthday combination this 2 months is 9. I'll be 9.
Yeah, Jacques, we can't hear you at all.
The whole thing. I had enough for you.
try to call back in. We're going to take this other call.
Oh,
try
can.
To call back in.
Okay,
and the connection, okay? Call back.
Okay.
All right, so let's bring on 936. Good morning, 936.
Good morning. This is Lindsay. Hi, Kristen. And hi, Neil.
Hi.
Hi.
Did you say Wendy?
Lindsay.
Oh,
L-Y-N-D-S-E-Y.
Lindsay.
Yes.
Okay, Lindsay.
Yes.
L-I-N-D-S-E-Y?
L-Y.
L-Y, Lindsay. Yes, okay. So you're the Lindsay that I'm thinking of. Can I get your birth date, Lindsay?
April 2nd, 1984.
284. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm a little sick today, so my throat is hurting.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Throat is hurting.
I was just wondering if I'm going to be changing jobs anytime soon.
Okay.
If you're going to be changing jobs anytime soon.
And Lindsay, Neil spoke with you privately, correct? Is that right?
Correct, yes.
Yes. So you did it. You talked to her last week.
Okay. Well, Lindsay, April 2nd, 1984, changing jobs soon. I believe in our reading, did we cover over this topic, and I told you that there was some space of time, but that the job was compelling and coming up?
We mainly talked about the acting.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't go into any degree of any depth about the job itself when a job is coming up.
No, not at great depth.
Well, we're in the month of August is still very powerful for you, Lindsay. It's embedded in your code, even though you're born in 84. It still resonates with the month itself, at least according to our American current calendar. So you're still within that zone, and I do feel that there's a job situation coming up for you. I don't know why, but what kind of work are you applying for right now?
Right now, I'm in accounting, so it's oil and gas.
Okay, the quality.
For oil and gas. I know the lines are not good today. She's...
Yeah.
Accounting and office.
And were you wanting to get to a different area, a different location to do the same kind of work?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you want to leave from one location, go to another location, the same kind of work, but a better situation environment for you.
Exactly, yes.
I think August. I'm still feeling August, Lindsay, for you.
Okay.
So... something about that. I don't know why, but there's images keep popping in my head, which has nothing to do with your job, but I keep seeing like a grocery market chain. Did you ever know anyone that worked in a grocery market aside from our topic here?
I used to work for a grocery store whenever I was in college.
Oh, you worked for a grocery store. So I'm picking up on the vibration then of your occupational career, and I'm going way back in your vibration to the time to where you worked in a grocery store.
Okay.
And that gives some level of validation in order to establish or maybe help to establish this job change in the month of August. Or maybe August is the last month, maybe it will be in September, but maybe August is the last month that you have to kind of wade it through. So that's the premise I'm working on right now as we speak. I'm getting a validation because of the grocery market situation that's reaching back in time, but it's helping me to establish a certain vibrational premise about your life right now. I can't recall, Lindsay, do you have a brother?
Yes, I do.
And because I don't recall from our reading, I'm getting a vibe on it. Is there any... difficulty, maybe not dramatic, but any difficulty in communicating with him now in time?
Yes, there is. Yeah, he actually contacted me yesterday. And that's the first time that I had talked to him since probably January.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm picking up on that vibe, Lindsay. So that's coming through on our reading today on the radio. And was there any difficulties that you two had to verbally work out in that conversation?
No. It was just a text message.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything? Well, I'm getting the vibration of it, but I'm trying to decipher where the difficulty is in terms of the connection. So have you had any difficulty with your relationship with him?
Yes. Yes, very much so.
That's what I'm picking up on the radio. Now, maybe this has something to do, who knows? You know, I'm a firm believer that if you clean your room, you get to go out to play. So one environment, doing something in one environment affects your life in another environment. I think that there's some karma between you and your brother that you have to clean up, and that might clear up the passage for your fulfillment in another job position.
Okay.
And I think that's what has to be done. Do you want to express anything over the radio today about why, where you have me here at your disposal? I don't want to say disposal.
Yes.
It sounds like a garbage. But maybe we can dispose of your karma. Then you want to share with me about your difficulty with your brother?
He has had drug-related problems in the past, and it's just kind of, you know, a back-and-forth thing with him. I try to help him out. Different family members have tried helping him out, and it's almost like he falls back into, he's good for a few months and he falls back into his old ways. And it's just really hard to kind of get through to him, to kind of help him out and him reciprocate.
We can get his birth date, Lindsay, since we have a little time.
July 21st, 1988.
Oh, wow.
1988? Yeah, yes. That's going to be trouble. 10, 20, that's a 36, 9, but there's trouble in his karma. 721, you know, there's trouble in that energy. What happens in people born in the 721, they gather a 10 in their higher energy.
In fact, Robin Williams was born on 721.
That's right. And typically...
Wow.
People born in 721, now not everybody, so I don't want to get bombarded with emails, texts and everything, but the 721 factor can bring on issues, base issues, root issues. That involves security issues, well-being issues. A lot of 721s will have drug problems, alcohol problems. They go through it to some degree.
Yeah.
And the problem, the situation with your brother is that in his year he's got an 8-8, which is a strong energy. He's a 36-9, which is actually very strong. He had a karma at 36, 88, 98, 108. No, he's not that age yet, so he's still going through karma, which is going to be very difficult for him. Let's see, so he's 26 years old. He's got a ways to go. So this is not going to be an easy journey for him. And yes, you know, when we're talking about Robin Williams and degrees of depression and people going in and out, he was too a victim of alcohol and depression and drugs and cocaine and whatnot. And then he was clean for a while, I even think 20 years, and he slipped back because he wasn't happy about life. Your brother goes through the same energy field. So it's going to be very difficult. And how this equates to your job, well, how did the texting go when he contacted you? Was he reaching out for help?
No, he just said, I hope that you're doing well. I love you and I miss you. Just kind of, that was about the extent of it.
And did you, do you have issues with him that keeps you apart from him to any degree?
Yes, I feel like, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm going to be stabbed in the back again, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to protect your energy. And, of course, people who have addictive personalities, they often hurt the people, the very people they love, and the guilt factors come in, and reconciliation comes in, but then their disease, so to speak, takes over, and they're off and running again with the ill behaviors. And so
yeah.
I think to some degree you have to protect yourself. And how this, you know, this vibe I'm getting in relation to this and your job, there's got to be some interconnected energy. Does he himself have a hard time holding down a job?
Yes, yes, he does.
Well, there's something related now into the family zone. Now we're getting into a family situation and the dynamic of the family situation, the karmic energy in the family. So we've got that element. Is there yet a third sibling in this scenario?
Yes, I have a sister.
Yeah, I'm picking up a third sibling. Now, of the three, is she better off than your brother? Does she kind of hold it together?
Yeah, I would say she does. Yeah.
Does she have a family with children? Does she have any children?
No, not yet. She's married, though, but it's still not an ideal situation.
Yeah. Well, there's probably, she's married, as I'm picking that up, and I'm picking up a child somewhere along the line coming up on the way. So how does, now we're getting into a broader area, because your question was about a job. And I'm not really deviating from your question. I'm trying to figure out what's going on in your world, karmically speaking, that is either blocking your job location, or however we could maybe manage energy to such an extent that we move it to a different space. Who's struggling with their weight?
One of my friends, a guy friend of mine.
So he's a guy friend, meaning it's platonic?
Yes, friends. I don't want to say he's my boyfriend, but
is there
we
any
see each other.
Physical, yeah, but this is not a sexual relationship. Is it an intimate relationship?
No, it's not. It's not sexual anymore.
Anymore. There was at one time. Okay, so
yeah.
I'm starting to gather, and forgive me for, I don't want to
get
private matters on the radio. I don't mean to put you on a spot, so forgive me if I'm approaching.
That's okay.
I'll quickly move my topic to another issue. But I think, Lindsay, that that the reason I'm asking, because I've got you on the radio and I'm here and I'm trying to do my best to convert energy, is that by looking at the energies around you and seeing the tribulations and trials that you have, I'm trying to figure out how I can go from that zone over to your job occupation to where you can get be in a better environment. Is this, with this new location that you're seeking, if you've got it visibly in your mind, is it within 25 miles of where you're at now?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, well, I feel pretty good about the move, Lindsay, but I can't guarantee it, but my vibrations or the energies that I'm receiving says that the question of you moving there is not out of the question. So there's still something. I do believe that unbeknownst to your current consciousness, there's some element of karma that's blocking the energy. And are you at all, real quickly, are you at all trying to, are you waiting for an answer or response from them?
I've been talking to recruiters. I just talked to a recruiter yesterday. I've applied for, I went on 3 or 4 interviews, and I didn't get any of them.
Well, I don't know. Let's see what, in our brief time on the radio today, if I've done anything to crack the shell a little bit. Keep
okay.
us close, because it's really
okay.
a more involved situation than we can offer on the radio. But I've got enough vibration validation for me to at least maybe chip away at something here.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hi, Liz, for your call.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, and Lindsay can reach you at 562-596-7818. We do have a caller from 760. Before I get to them, though, I did get an email from one of our listeners, Athena, who we've spoken with several times, and you know, her comment on our discussion about Robin Williams is that, you know, she's in agreement. She says in her email, haven't we all been depressed and some of us quite severely? We're not just here for ourselves. And I would think only a selfish person would disregard what they give or bring to others. What if every person who went through a down spot, no matter how severe, chose to off themselves?
We are human beings. We do have a responsibility for those around us. And Robin Williams did have a family. And how what he leaves in his wake is still of major consequence. That's a karma. That's a basic karma. In spite of the fact that we really do embrace the idea, the tragic elements that led to his death.
Absolutely, and there's compassion. I mean, it's,
terrible. I mean, to kill yourself, I mean, you've got to have guts in a way to do it.
Oh, gosh, definitely.
There's something, as absurd as it is, you've got to be a little brave to actually kill yourself.
I know, they say it's a cowardly act, and in some ways, yes, I agree, but to actually pull the trigger or, you know, hang yourself on a noose is like, I mean, you cross a big barrier there when you're doing that. Okay, let's take our 760 caller, and we'll talk more if we have time. 760, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. It's Gigi. How are you?
Oh, hi, Gigi. How are you?
Hi. Good. I'm doing good. Doing well. Thank you.
Right.
Sad news on Monday with Robin Williams, and thank you for addressing the topic because it's kind of like, wow.
I know,
you know,
intense.
All these emotions come flooding in, and, you know, you often think of, oh, my gosh, how are those people handling it? So, you know, I don't know. And then a lot of people have kind of that in that periphery in their circle, and they wonder how to deal with it all. And so it does kind of, it helps to, you know, maybe come to terms with some of it and sort it all out. And so I appreciate your, you know, talking about it. It really, I feel like it does help.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Type of catharsis for people. Can you remind me of your birthday? I know you did just have a birthday. So happy birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. 7/17/1958.
7/17/1958. Okay. Yeah. Did you have a specific question today?
I do. My specific question is about prosperity. Now, I do believe, you know, that it is something that I can manifest. However, and at the same time, it almost feels like I get really close and it slips through my fingers, or I actually touch it and the shoot. Yeah, I don't know. It's like slipping through the fingers kind of feeling. So there, it seems like I need to make a connection in terms of feeling like it's something that's long-lasting. I mean, what is the missing piece?
Okay. Well, she does have strong eights in her energy.
In numerical evaluation and interpretation, Gigi, you're a 38112 by your master number code. I think we've gone over that probably before.
Yeah.
Which is a very complex energy. It's a difficult energy. 112s, whether they're 29112s, 38112s, it's a real. That's a difficult walk on the planet. And so when we get beyond that, we look over at your birth date. Now the eights signify the money prospect and the prosperity. And you do have an eight in your year. But lo and behold, your eight is also broken up in your day, which is 17. Look at your first two numbers, we could say 71. So they're karmically speaking, your path and your striving towards prosperity is contingent on the, like with the former caller, the resolution of karma, resolving something in the karmic realm. Now, if you notice in your birth date, you have a 7 and a 1, or via a 1 and a 7. That's your base chakra, your root chakra, contrasted with your 7th chakra, your crown chakra. That means that in life you had a battle between heaven and earth, much like Robin Williams himself. How do I make a compromise between my higher self and how I'm experiencing life on the planet? So you had this great division between the battle of spirit and flesh. And that was what probably broke up any attitude of power, you had. Look at Robin Williams, a very powerful individual. He had the world in his hand. He had notoriety. He had success. He had fame. He had a family. He had what so many of us are working our butts off to get. And he had it. And then because of some dissatisfaction, maybe, you know, his television show, he wasn't getting the roles. He was feeling like he was drying up. Instead of resting on his laurels and saying, how can I help continue to promote my fellow human beings on the planet and give back what I got, he decided to end his life. Well, you know, we don't have to get into all the psychological knickknacks as to what he did, but in your situation, this too becomes a battle for you in terms of how you're at the end of seeking prosperity, perhaps never having achieved it to the extent that Robin Williams did, but at the same time, the first premise is the most hardest to accept. But some people say it's easy, but then you realize when you analyze it, it's not so easy. And that is, how content are you in your spirit? If you're very actualized and content in your spirit, then the desperation of the earth is hardly a matter to question. You're so content that, and you're so appreciative of the fact that you're existing, and you're so preparing on the earth to get ready for that spiritual revelation that will occur once the body leaves, once the soul leaves the body, that what you do on the planet is just a God-given daily activity. And yes, you strive, but you're not desperate with the energy. The desperation starts to chip away at the spirituality because you're giving yourself you're giving the world too much power. And what you're trying to find in the world is becoming overwhelmingly powerful for you. So it starts to take away from the purity of the spiritual knowledge. And that's probably something that is most difficult for us human beings to comprehend, because after all, we are stuck in the planet, and we're grounded by physicality, and we're grounded by the way that the world operates. So it gets a little bit difficult unless we're so extraordinarily spiritual that we are the example and the epitome of spiritual expression on the earth and forever optimistic. And involved in the process of the experience of life. And I'm not saying that you're not, Gigi, but to answer your question, we would have to then thereby go into our time machine and maybe past life regression or something, or just a brief visit into the past, taking some of the present moments with us to decipher what is stopping your theme of prosperity, what's actually stopping. I am getting something coming in. Was there any strong religious upbringing in your family that you opposed?
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm getting now.
I never really connected with it. I never. I felt it was almost like a sham. You know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. Which that's not my controversy. My energy is that I got a vibration that was your experience.
Yes, yes, yes.
Validation. You see, I'm getting a validation, and it's not for me to say whether you were right or wrong, the hypocrisy of religion, whatever. That's not the matter of debate here. The matter is that situation that you were born into with your current consciousness has something to do with your past life.
Okay.
So you came into this world, however defined, and that very dilemma is connected to your past life resolution. So, it would take time to explore the finer parts of speech in regards to how you can find prosperity and all the benefits of it, body, mind, and soul, in terms of how to resolve yourself of this past life debate between spirituality and flesh, religion and common sense, that kind of thing.
Okay, so they're all interconnected.
They're all interconnected, and I understand that I'm more in a esoteric, philosophical phase of your question, but there can be a way to ground the premise into something that is tangible, that can be worked with. But again, this takes more deeper analysis and penetration of the intellect to get into. But I clearly see that there are doors in your brain that I can see and read, that leads me into the very themes that were just that you know would be otherwise very engaging.
Yeah, no, I'm following you. I'm definitely following you, and it's not above, you know. I know it's esoteric, and I'm following you. You know, you mentioned to the previous caller about her brother, and I have a similar situation with my brother. I've been estranged from my brother for years, and it's been. I try not to go there in my, I guess, in my emotions, but it is a source of sadness, and I just wonder if there's ever going to be, or if that's affecting my life, you know, adversely to the point of stopping the flow, even in prosperity. I don't know, and if there's ever, you know, a breakthrough there.
Neil, we can address this briefly, but we do have another caller, Gigi, that we must get.
Okay.
But our comments
sure.
that you want. Before we move
well,
to
sibling rivalry comes from karmic confusion. There's a karmic battle going on tribally in your energies, and so your brother came into that picture, and so we have contrasting energy. It's really the Cain-Abel syndrome, or you know it when you have a union. You're almost susceptible to have a division because that's part of the root of the energy of the human behavior is to have contrast. And so there's something in there that, again, we'd have to further investigate. I don't have a lot of time for.
Sure.
But at some other occasion, I'd get his birth date and start to go through the premise as to why you and your brother are somewhat at odds. But I can tell you now that a lot of the university of your thought comes from a past life education or lack thereof where you created some of this karma.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it, and thank you so much. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Gigi. It's nice to reconnect.
Yes, same here. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
You know, General, it's, you know, there are specific hits. But I, unfortunately, to get into it, you generalize on a radio show.
Yeah.
You can't, unless you really have the time, and we're structured to get to all of our callers.
Yes, indeed. Since we had so much trouble bringing them on in the last episode, so let's, without further ado, bring on our 203 caller. Good morning, afternoon.
Hello.
I'm stuck here. Hi. Good afternoon, 203. Who's this?
Hi. This is Pat. You know, I just spoke to you last week, but.
Yeah.
Hi, I just got home and I saw your two programs today, and if you don't want to do a reading, that's fine, because I did recently speak to you, but I want to make a couple of comments.
But at the moment. So,
I'm sorry?
No, you can go ahead. We have time for you, is what I'm saying.
Okay. After the last call, I heard the two of you talking about me saying that I'm doing better and that I had followed your advice. I don't know how you knew that, but it's absolutely true. And, yes, it is true, and I am doing better. You told me basically to get up off my rear end.
I remember that.
You have a good memory. Well, it was true, and I've been trying to do that, but in relation to what you're talking about, Neil, I made a very, very serious attempt on my life, and I don't know, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to listen to your programs yet, quite some time ago, and I absolutely meant to do it, and I completely believe that God had a hand in not only saving me, but unscathed. The doctors told my father that I wasn't going to make it. He was a doctor. And then they said, she's going to make it, but she'll be brain damaged, blah, 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 kidney damage and so on. And I was so out of it. I was put on a drug that got me to this point that I almost took my son because I did not want to leave him with my ex-husband. That's how messed up I was. And I just want to share this. I don't know what people have been talking about and who are listening, but I still, even though, Neil, you told me to get up off my rear end, I still have those thoughts. I still don't want to be here. And I'm here for my dog, and I'm here for my son, because I don't want to put him through that. And I struggle with, you know, why am I still there? And I'm actually afraid you could get up off your butt. That's the answer to it. And that is part of it. but, you know, I was thinking about Robin Williams, and it's tough. I know he didn't want to do it, and I know it took profound strength for him to do it. It took profound strength for me to do it. People say you're weak when you do this, you're a coward. Not necessarily true.
I don't know if you caught a little bit before the last caller, but we were talking about that very topic, that it really does take some strength to commit to that type of, I mean, you know, to kill yourself. It's like you have to cross a boundary.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary. I mean, I couldn't do it.
No, I think it takes, in one way you're copping out, but in another way you have to create enough courage to do the act, and I don't know, I couldn't do it.
Go ahead.
Pat, there was a documentary called It's Tough to Be a Bird, and it was all about the life of a bird and how tough it is to be a bird in the world. Well, it's tough to be a human being. There was never a promise that being a human being on the planet was going to be an easy job. We have a tough job as people. It's hard. It's hard to live in the world. It's not an easy thing. So what it is, it's a test of our spirit. Now, by the grace of God, he gave you your dog and your child as anchors for you. So that might be at least one way to keep your breath alive while you're on the planet.
Well,
the other,
it is, but, you know, I'm pissed. I'm pissed that I have to stay here because I'm not staying here because I want to. I'm staying here because I can't do that to my son, and I got to make sure my dog's safe before I do it. So, you know, and that's it's not a good place to be. It's a shameful place to be. But I want to be honest because, and maybe someone sent me a site today that was truly wonderful about, you know, taking the shame away from people who have gotten to this point. It's really good. If I can somehow send it to you, I'd love to, because it's pretty profound.
You can always email us on our Blog Talk Radio.
I will.
You can email me there, and then I'll give you my private address. That way Neil doesn't do email.
You know, it's difficult, Pat, because part of me, I have such an existential slant that I embrace as well, and I do believe that we have certain choices, and I've suffered with my own depression. Obviously, I'm a human being, so I've gone through it too. But you know, where I'm somewhat privileged in knowledge is not because I've earned it in my brain, is because I've talked to souls that have crossed over from suicide, and my experiences are real to me, what I've had with them. And I've never heard a successful suicide soul tell me that they were happy they did it. Most of them say, my God, life is very short, and I just had to work it out till the end. Because what happens is once you leave the body, the soul sees the body, the silver cord is broken, and the soul now desperately sees that they've done wrong, and they want to slap their head and try to get back into the body because they realize what a mistake they made. It's almost like you studied for a test, and then you walk out and you look at the book and you realize you said one question wrong, and you slap your wrist and you go back to teacher and go, oh, please, let me have the paper. I knew the answer. I knew it. Well, the same thing happens. They desperately try to get back into the body because they cut short their test. They gave a wrong answer. And then what they have to do is they're karmically inclined to stay on a certain level until their normal breath would have been over. And at that point in time, the soul is put into a judgment form. And typically what I've seen is that they've had to come back with extended karma.
So it becomes more difficult ultimately.
Yeah.
You'll end your life, and then you actually have to come back. It's not like you escape dealing with the planet again. You sentence yourself.
Life is basically like a diploma. You get to the end of your life, and you at least receive your diploma, and you realize that life wasn't so long after all.
And you may return to the planet, but not with the same type of karma had you actually ended your own life or
That's right.
the life of another.
That's right.
I agree with that mostly, but I used to speak to a reader who wrote a book called Brothers Forever, and I remember the expression, this guy suffered with, I guess, depression, and they channeled to her at the end. He just was wiping the window, trying to see through it, and he just got so tired. And I agree with what you're saying, but I also believe, I feel in my heart, that in some cases there is a grace and an understanding in the afterlife of that this person had to do it, and that there isn't such a severe judgment. I feel that that's in some cases.
Well, you know, Pat, I mean, there's mysteries out there, and there's rooms of empathy out there where different spiritual evaluation, I think, takes place. So I can't confess that the only logical way is one way. I do understand that there are premises and there's contingencies and different interpretations as to how we end our lives, not to mention the self-sacrifice we give to others. So it's not... I mean, there's a question there, but then we also bring up the question of, like what Camus said, about the myth of Sisyphus, which is that we continuously roll up the stone and it falls back again. We continuously wipe the window and it's dirty again. And the only thing that we can breathe on is the idea that we exist. The idea of existence, with all its pain, all of its despair, is something If you can get into the mind frame, that in and of itself is a purpose. It gives us reason to exist, is the fact that we do exist. So there's a reason why we are confined in these bodies and why we have conditions of pain and why we have this diverse duality of pleasure, pain, happiness, sadness, not feeling fulfilled, waking up every morning like all you do is think about, I don't want to be here. I just don't want to be here. And I think that there's some concept that we have to strive for as spirits that gets beyond the basic elements of despair and unhappiness. It's a tough one. I agree, Pat. And I'm not suggesting that everyone who commits suicide, it's just a blanket statement, you're screwed. I'm not really saying that. But what I am saying is that there's a challenge there, and I'm not willing to risk it. I for one pray to God I just get through life, and at the end of my life I'm done and I'm off. I don't want to challenge the concept that I may produce more karma by my actions. So I try to find my best way to get through it, even if it's helping others.
And Pat, you know what? We are out of time on our show. We're actually
okay.
Wrapped.
Thank you so much, and I'll go back and listen to your shows. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for commenting today. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye bye. You know, I wanted to say something else. Last night we were watching a program about Robin Williams, and of course, you know, this had been probably scheduled after his death, but we also lost someone who was a great contributor to modern all. And, you know, unfortunately, this is someone who lived out their life fully, and her death definitely overshadowed by this suicide, and, you know.
Yeah, and she had her troubles, too, but, you know, but, again, another icon, and it continues, you know.
Okay, well, anyway, thanks, everybody, for joining us for our second show, Herbs and Spices. Anyway, thank you for joining us for our second show of the day. I'm feeling German or something.
I'm thinking how you could
joke.
Have said other things with that syllable.
No, we won't go there. We're back on the air on Monday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific, and we hope everybody has a great week, and thanks, Neil.